I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this point in time, I'm going to suspend the council session and open the budget workshop to do a little gathering of our budget workshop.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let me just start off. As you know, we're getting into the budget season, and the budget is three or four or five meetings, which are conducted over a two or three month period, in which we put to bed our budget, and our budget is a combination of revenues coming in and expenditures going out. And tonight, this is just sort of a workshop prior to really getting into the budget. This, more than anything, is to try and get everybody any issues that are out there, whatever they are, so that we can help research them between now and when we have our first budget meeting, which I believe is scheduled for April 10th. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about where we are in the budget so far this year, and we're in the eighth month of it. We're also looking to do priorities, and I believe the priorities are on March 16th. And so want to talk a little bit about priorities. We want to answer any questions that you might have about our budget process. And I think part of our next year's budget is reflective of where we are in this year's budget. And one of the things I asked Lori this evening is, and she can respond, is if we were to go back in time 8 months to where we were when we started the budget and do it all over again, would we do it differently? So as you get some insight, we have a healthy budget, things are on track, things are askew, that sort of stuff. I just might note also that we have a little sheet. It's called Pre-Meeting Topics for Budget Committee Decisions. And the interesting thing about Oregon State is they kind of enumerate what you can and cannot do in different meetings. And so this is just an overview. If you're going to have a pre-meeting, what you can and cannot talk about. And so Lori will keep you sort of in the parameters of whatever this says on here. I haven't read it. And thankfully so. Just be another thing to twist my mind. And with that, Lori, it's in your hands. And, you know, I know everybody here at the table and none of you are shy. So to the extent you need knowledge, information, just say something, okay?
Okay, the pre-meeting for the budget committee consists of the four counselors and the four elected budget committee members, which are represented here at the table. We have Bob Steffens and Tabby Doty and Renee and Bob, or did I say Bob? Oh, Kitty.
Kitty.
And so tonight we're just going to touch on what we can and cannot do, and then you have the budget in its line item format. We can talk in generalities, and we can talk about our vision and what our economic projection might be. We can talk about things that may look out askew, where we might want to go with it. The things that we can't talk about, though, are line item per se for fund or give any type of specific estimation or appropriation. So if you do have a question, hold on to that. Make up your list of questions. This is something that you can take home and you can digest. And then when we do have our first budget meeting, come back with your questions, or if you have something specific that you want to know more about, then email me. And I will give you the detail and provide that at the first budget meeting. So we don't, you know, that we're in line with what we can and cannot do. So any questions so far?
I just might note that the wolf is not at our door. We've been very prudent with our expenditures to date. None of our particular line items are that much out of skew. And overall, we have more revenues than we foresaw at this time of year. But that's also a little bit misleading because there's things that we haven't done this year that we plan to do that reflect monies unspent. For instance, we dedicated $20,000 to redoing the front of this building, and we set aside monies for street lights, and we set aside money for a handy person and things of that nature. And we haven't put any street lights out, we haven't improved the front, we haven't hired a handy person, things of that nature that just then, well, boy, we've got money here, it looks like we're doing really good. That needs to be adjusted for things that we've committed to doing that haven't been expended. Okay. But even when you do that, even when you make for that adjustment, I think our budget, what we forecast and where we are, is in good shape.
Also, if you all have ground rules that you want to bring forward, we can operate by that. Everybody here has an equal voice in the process, and you have one vote, I think, when we come down to the budget committee. I know most of you have been here. I think, Greg, you're the newest person that hasn't been through the process yet.
Right.
There is training. You can go to various places. I think Bend has one, and Klamath Falls is having one. And I can send out that email to you where you can go get the training in person. Steve and I went last year, and I don't think it's changed substantially in any way, shape, or form from the local budget law. And I do have the manual. If you want to have a copy of the manual, I can give that to you as well.
Okay. Do you know when that's going to be held?
There are various times and dates.
There are actually several dates and then several locations.
Yeah, 'cause I think I'd like
to. And I went last year, and I found it very helpful. And it wasn't so much helpful just the teachers who had all this competency, but we had a room full of people just like us that were in the same boat, and they asked all these questions, and by asking and answering all these questions, then it made all of us look a little smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kenny, let me ask you a question. You're more than anyone the one that kind of sponsored this meeting. And so do you have some insight as to concerns or issues that we should look at?
The reason why I suggested this meeting was so that I suggested it actually as a midterm review of the current budget that we're working under, not as a pre-meeting for the upcoming. So this is a little bit above and beyond what I was thinking. It's a little bit different, but that's not a bad thing because I see where also it allows for and we're prepared to discuss current year budget. My thought was that if we have a budget review, then it will help the entire budget committee and staff to understand how well we did with establishing the current budget that we're working under, and maybe see some trends, maybe help everyone understand better. The city has a whole lot different financial structure, and it has a lot more financial things going on than it had before. And so I think it helps for people to get a grasp of what we're working with currently, and like I say, how well we project it out, so that then when we do meet to deliberate on the upcoming budget, we'll have a better understanding of what we're looking at and what we're making decisions on.
Okay, all right. Well, again, I just want to point out that normally every month we put out a budget that reflects on a couple things. It's our general funds. We have five general funds and what those look like and how they're doing relative to how far we are in the year. Anything that's out of kilter, we have a little line item note now that advises why that is. Sometimes it's just, you know, for instance, a revenue source hasn't come in and it's not expected to come in yet. And so you don't see that in the balance. And so you go, oh, gee, why are we deficient? But as we've tracked it for 8 months using, and every month we adjust it a little bit. It gets hopefully a little bit easier to read. It was pretty undecipherable, and I think it's less undecipherable now. But then the council also said that on a quarterly basis that they would like to have an expanded understanding of line items. So, for instance, tonight we have for the council and for the budget committee an expanded list of line items, so you can very specifically see how revenues are in each category, how far in the year we are, how much we've expended, and some idea that we're over or we're under or whatever. And you'll find that they're all someplace, not exactly spot on, but when you look at it all in its entirety, everything is in good stead. All right. And so if you're using that as sort of, well, we want to know that before we venture into next year, then that's very helpful. And the answer is, it looks good right now. And so if we have the same mojo next year as we did this year so far, then we should have a good year next year.
The only thing that I had hoped for was to get this information ahead of time, about a week prior, because it's difficult, you know, none of us has had a chance to review this, and so it's kind of hard to come up with comments now and questions without having had a few days.
This is better than last year, though.
To look it over.
We didn't even get this last year.
Well, and we were behind the gun last year. You know, I didn't get hired till right about now.
Yeah.
And I had to learn basic, you know, 101. And, you know, so we hurriedly, last year, it's surprising, given last year, that it's turned out as well as it has.
I think that with the whole idea, the council's already, you know, has come forward with the idea that we'll do this on a quarterly basis. We also look at it in respects of the percentages and how we're moving on a monthly basis. That'll go a long way to keeping everybody up to date. I would say that if we're going to talk about something at this depth, having it ahead of time is beneficial to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the idea of having this on a quarterly basis where we get a full review will take us a long way down the road to knowing that the monies and our efforts to spend it or to manage the city is on target. Mm-hmm. So,
sir. Last year you brought the county and gave us a pretty good forecast of revenues, property taxes and stuff. We can
invite, you know, he did such a splendid job.
He'll do it again.
We certainly will see if we can invite that gentleman.
Okay.
Because
Scott,
for no other reason, just for entertainment value.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he said last year, if you recall, he said that for the last 5 years, we had just precipitously crashed. You know, 10% this year, 17% this year, 25%. And he said this last year that we'd either hit bottom or we might lose a percentage point or we might go up a percentage point. And I think that forecast has held pretty well throughout the year. I asked Lori how we were with respect to property taxes, and it's right where it should be for this time of year. It'll be interesting what his forecast will be, because if you see, everything is just getting a little bit better. We just keep Congress from doing something self-destructive. I think we'll be in good stead.
One other thing. One of the real unknowns last year was the water districts, and I'd be interested to know was there any real surprises, anything that we need to be looking at for next year's budget.
You know,
anything major different than we expected? Especially
I hope to do a better job.
On the expense side.
Okay, well, let me say this about, we took over sewer and water the first, June 30th.
July the 1st.
July 1st. And, you know, we are all braced for, you know, a catastrophe. And it's been pretty seamless. We've gone from QuickBooks to Cassell. We've had to learn that. That's been probably the toughest part about the transition is using the new accounting-based system. But also, we reviewed the audit report for the sewer and the water district, and it was good. We haven't seen any real bugaboos. Interestingly, the transition has yet to occur. USDA still has not culminated the transfer process. So we're kind of in this in-between land. But even so, just relying upon the policies and practices that were in place with the sewer and the water district, which we've embraced until we do something different, it's been pretty seamless.
I think I'd add, too, that we took over a budget that we had no hand in. And I think it's inherent on the budget committee to look closely at all the parameters of sewer and water, and are those numbers realistic? And that information that we got in that budget that was actually handed to us and we adopted, I think it's important for all of us to think, you know, look forward to delving into that pretty extensively. Are there any, Kenny?
No, that was kind of a question that I had, was how the utilities budgets are merging with the city budget, and then most specifically where with personnel costs, with paying the manager and such. Has
right now we have a 70-10-10-10 split, which means administration, 70% administration or general fund, 10% street fund, 10% water, and 10%, and then 10% sewer. So that's how it's split out this year. Next year we'll probably revisit that because we have a better estimation of how much time we all spend on water and sewer.
Now we might have had an overage had we not laid off a person in the transition of coming from sewer and water district to city, because you know if you're just adding administrative cost without making for any cost considerations, then you're going to increase. But by laying a person off and saying we're going to assume that person as part of our operation, okay, that offset the increase in administrative costs. So it should be a wash. All right. One of the challenges, and I'm talking out loud now, that and something I want the budget committee to really consider. We have a rate study that's going to be presented by Chris Markle at our March 13th meeting. And Chris has evaluated the cost of doing business for water. And he's suggesting out loud, and you'll see it in his report, that we don't have sufficient revenues in our sewer and water budgets to sustain the operation over time. And he's suggesting that, and he's going to provide some suggestions of how you would increase the rates. But if we're going to have a viable sewer and water system as a feature of our operation, then we need sufficient revenues to do that. So I'll be looking to the budget committee and to the council to say, yep, if we need to bite the bullet and adjust our rates upward, we need to do that. And that doesn't mean that we also don't have to be responsible and be as responsible with our system as it is now. We need to do that too, but we need to make it whole and healthy. Okay. So we'll know more after Chris comes and talks to us.
It sounds like that would be a good meeting actually for as many budget committee members as possible to attend could you schedule that? Is that scheduled for close to the beginning of the meeting?
Yeah, I think it is, and if it's not, the mayor has the prerogative to move it around where it is.
We noticed that at the last meeting.
There are certain prerogatives that go with being the mayor.
I know.
I'd like for us to move on to, are we going to go over the budget now? Is everybody agreeable to that? You know, let's get on into the numbers and if you've got any questions, maybe after that we can address those.
Okay. Well, I'll just cut to the bottom line, and then you can ask questions if you have any. But right now, on the second page of the budget numbers, our total net revenue over expenditures is $77,000 for the first 8 months of operation for the city.
Where are you looking?
Second. At the bottom of that page. First three pages, four pages.
Okay.
So four pages in. We've received property taxes of 93% based on $216,000. We still have revenue coming in for March, and then I think there's another installment, which is on the first page of the numbers, the very top. We have intergovernmental revenue. This is mainly our revenue, cigarette revenue, our liquor revenue, our state share revenue. Those are things that come mainly from the state that we get money from. And those are shared revenues throughout different municipalities. The other charges for services, we have our franchise fees, and those come from various utility companies that we have contracts with, or we're negotiating contracts. There's some other things that happen. We could have planning fees, miscellaneous income. If you want detail about that, I can give it to you. Then we have our,
Lauren,
yes.
I'd like for you to go down to each, call each item's line out so that we know where you're moving to each time, please.
Okay. So let's see. Miscellaneous income.
And other income.
Right. So the total there is $3,300. And then, let's see, we haven't had any transfers in, which is $1,039,990, other revenue sources. We haven't brought in any revenue from any of the other ones. Then we have personnel services, and those are just all the costs of doing business for employees. That includes mainly a partial, well, 70% of the administrative, because the other 30 goes to the other departments.
Say that again. 70% of what goes where?
70% of administrative services, which is Patty, Steve, and I, goes to the general fund. 10% goes to the street fund.
Or is charged against the street mm-hmm. fund.
10% against water and 10% against sewer.
Okay.
And so, that could change.
So the biggest variance in our budget is in the franchise fees.
Okay.
Right? We got about half of what we thought we were going to get.
Well, it kind of staggers. Some of them are quarterly, so they may have not come in yet. I noticed, like, Mid-State, it hasn't come in yet, because okay. there's only two installments there.
Okay.
So sometimes they lag behind.
I think it's important to point those out. No, I see them.
Okay.
I see them. But.
Yeah.
Okay.
So some of those are just going to be coming in later.
Okay.
And then going on to the second page under administration and operations, we have a large variance in contract services. We had $158,000, and I believe. Well, we've only spent $14,000 so far. So we have a large variance there, which means that we haven't contracted a lot of what we thought we were going to this year. And I'd have to go back to the original budget. I know Renee's got hers there to see specifically what we had initially thought about. The legal fees, we're close to what we budgeted. This probably needs to be reallocated between water, sewer, because it's all been thrown into the general fund. We haven't really sat down and studied which one should be water, which one would be sewer, which one would be general. So we may go ahead and make a journal entry and readjust that so that it's more representative of what topic it goes to or what fund it should go to.
So this represents the general fund right now?
It represents all funds, the 47,000. So what I'm saying is we should really evaluate that and decide if it all goes in the general fund or should some of it go into the water and sewer fund.
Well, if we're doing administrative and there's pieces that apply to those three other departments, it would seem obvious to me that we charge sewer and water for their piece of the legal fees.
Right.
And just to add to what the mayor said, when we meet on April 10th, we have about 25 of these kinds of things, the considerations, and some of them are, no-brainers like I think this is, but we need to ask you what your druthers are so as to give us some guidance on that's how you want us to allocate monies, or here's what you're interested in or not interested in on that date. Okay.
Okay.
What's a negative actual? A negative actual community sponsorship.
That one's highlighted because we have a payment that needs to go out to CET, and it was a grant that we coupled with ODA to give to CET, which is transportation. And we got that money in, but we haven't paid it out. But that's where it went into, so it's going to come out of there. So it's, let's see, 10, 9, 21, and 12, 50. The payment is around 12,000. We partnered with them. They sent us a check for over $10,000. But it really is just a conduit. It comes in and goes back out. And then we gave them a grant of 12,250 in two installments, so for $2,500.
And that was from?
Transportation from the last, when we did the grant last year.
Right.
We did two installments.
We've done one and we haven't done the other?
And then the other one, it just came in, the money just came in, so it's going to be going back out. So that's why that's negative and it's highlighted.
Who does it come in from?
It comes from ODOT. And then we partner with ODOT to give CET the grant money.
Okay.
Okay. And that's about it for the general fund. We have contingencies and transfers out, which we have not done any of those yet. The street fund.
Oh, my favorite.
This is restricted money. And I think we went over the restrictions last year, but just to refresh your mind, when we get money from the state for gasoline taxes, that money goes into the street account or into the street fund. And that money is to be spent for street repair, maintenance, and all of that. So it's definitely used only for those specificities. And here we still have quite a bit of money to consider for repairs. For an example, we still have under administrative and operations, we put in $122,000 for contracted services, but we haven't hardly spent, less than 35%. And we haven't gotten any transportation plan costs. So those are things that we hope to have gotten in, but we didn't get the revenue, so we don't have the expense associated with that. We may have to reconsider that this year, whether or not we're going to have that TSP money coming in and then going back out. So those are things that are variable. When you get grants, you don't really consider them hard money coming in the door, but you do want to plan for them so that your budget is sufficient for the state. And let's see, we haven't had any capital outlays for streets, and we haven't had any operating contingencies. And then the tourism fund, which is the last fund here, before we get to the enterprise funds. We have motel revenue, and this represents 51%. This is the slow time. We expect that, you know, to go back up as we get busier into, you know, the nice weather, April, May, June. We'll see a significant increase in the amount of revenue, I hope. Keep our fingers crossed. That we do meet budget, because that's what we based our TRT money on. And that represents 70% that goes out to the Lapine Visitor Center. So that number we want to try to keep as tight as we possibly can. And so we always look at how much did we get in over like a 4 or 5 year period. And if you want to look at those statistics or look at that trend, we can certainly provide that information for you so that, you know, we get a really good source of estimation for this coming year.
I think that's a number that's fluctuating right now just based upon the fact that, you know, we're in a slump. We have been for a while. Everything I read is people's TRT monies are coming up. And I would expect that, you know, this time being slow and we've had a long period of knowing what those numbers are. I mean, it's easy to figure that into the budget that we're going to see things like this, especially this time of the year.
Okay, any questions so far?
Yeah, I'm back on the street fund for this month.
Okay.
We have an employee in the street fund.
We have 10% that goes against the street fund for the amount of time that we spend, which is Steve, Patty, and I.
Okay, so that's why there's no medical or anything.
Right, it's just wages.
Back to another one.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
Yeah, that's weird.
Why wouldn't we charge the whole administrative overhead? I mean,
it fell through with what was done the prior year. When Rick set up the first budget, we just followed that for the first time.
But I'm saying, it would seem to me that we would want to consider all the costs associated with an employee's time.
Because it really isn't an employee.
Well no, but
it's allocated.
Yeah.
It's an allocation.
It's an allocation, but they're only allocating X amount. Is that a true amount, or is that just a figure we picked out and it doesn't represent? Steve, weigh in here a little if you get a chance.
No, and again, these are budget decisions that we're going to bring to you.
Okay.
I got a whole slew of them.
Okay.
You're going to be, I promise you, you'll be brain dead by the end of the night from looking at them. And I think you'll be thankful that they're on the table for you to think through, and it certainly will help reframe how we do the budget next year. Okay, I promise you.
Thank you.
Okay. The first part of that was out of Cassell. The next part, the Lapine Water District, still has that title because it's in QuickBooks. So these have yet to be transferred over. We're going to be doing that in the next 3 months. So for water, we're at the Lapine Water District. Profit and loss budget versus actual. And this again is the eight months. This one, as which was referred to before, these are the numbers that were given to us. We didn't really have any say in how the budget was set up. So a lot of this, you know, I can't really speak to it because I don't know how the numbers were developed.
Let me qualify that though. We have had auditors review everything we've done to ensure its integrity. And so even though we've inherited this and some of this seems real strange to us and still mystifies us, it has met all of the standards for integrity. Okay? We have got a clean slate for all budget reviews.
Yeah, I think if these actuals are accurate, that's what we really need this year.
When all this is completely changed over into the new budget, are you still good? Is it just going to be one utility?
No, we'll keep it separate. Water and sewer, we have to.
Separate.
And we want to, too. I don't want any plundering of our sewer and water, because those look like big numbers. But a lot of that is reserves, and those monies are, you know, we want to protect our reserves. We don't, it looks real easy to trespass over there, and I want to make it real hard to trespass over there.
Well, we're going to have some...
Water utility and sewer utility that's...
Well, we're going to have some major pairs and replacements coming up.
For instance, we have a, it's called the Wiki Up lift station. And it's on its last legs. The cost to replace is probably going to be in the $300,000 range. Uh-huh. Now we're going to hire an engineer first to see at some alternatives, so maybe we don't have to spend all that money. But from a conservative posture, we want to take the wide view that it's going to fall down and we're going to have to spend that kind of money. So you need to have those kinds of reserves to do it. Either that, or you have to go out and borrow the money, pay the interest on borrowing money. I don't want us to borrow any money we don't have to.
Does the city not have an engineer on contract now?
We're about to have, and it's going to be a two-step. I'm looking to have an engineering firm do a couple engineering reviews for us, and then also in the wider context, have a city engineer. So sometime this year we'll have a city engineer, but for the time being we will do engineering a la carte. And actually by reviewing, having an engineer come in and do something a la carte, we can gain some perspective of just how capable they are, and maybe that'll help us determine who our city engineer ought to be. Okay.
Okay. Looks like we're really, our income for water is extremely excellent. Does that make sense? Anyway, it's excellent. We have 93% of the budget and we're only 8 months into it. So we must be doing something right. There was money set aside for a computer which we have not purchased. We have not made any improvements to the water system. So there's $30,000 allocated for that, which we've not spent any there. Under payroll, so this looks funky because I don't know what's in employee benefits, but I would expect it to be maybe medical and retirement rolled up. But I put it there so you could see how much was spent on retirement and how much was spent on medical insurance. And going to the next page, here you can see that the audit for the district was 83, and legal...
Where are you?
I'm on the second page. Flip. Flip to your next page. One.
This says number two. Okay.
Okay, we're on number two. Up top. Here. So under contracted services, accounting, and legal, you can see legal is, you know, down compared to what the general fund is. That's why the allocation would probably be the best thing to do is to go back through the legal and find out which one really are water and which ones are sewer so that we can properly allocate that. Insurance. We absorbed all of the insurance through the general fund, and that's probably another one we need to allocate on some basis. And that we, you know, how do you allocate? Do you do it square footage? Do you do it by revenue? So some of those things, you know, the allocation method may be a joint.
I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. I'm sure there's a lot of cities around here that already have this allocation process laid out, and by going to school on them, we can get ideas. of what will really be effective and realistic to the monies that we do allocate.
Okay. Let's see. Office supplies. We're not spending $26,000 on office supplies right at the moment. We have a good grasp of checks and invoices and envelopes, so with everybody combining everything, you know, we're doing pretty good.
Except when we have floods.
Yeah, well, it didn't eat up too much.
It did take out some of our paper and stuff. Yeah. When we were swimming around that.
Going on down, travel and training, we haven't spent anything there because nobody's been traveling or training, but we are, I think Scott is at school this week, so there'll be a little bit there. Let's see what else. Engineering costs, we haven't hired an engineer, so that one is a little low. Lab testing is high because we've had a lot of lab testing on the water, and I think that must have been not properly evaluated in the past.
Don't they just do it on a monthly basis? Do they do it on a monthly basis?
Yeah, we do it on a monthly basis, but we've been seeing some large bills.
Well, I think it just costs a lot. I think the chemicals cost a lot, the analysis costs a lot. I just could not believe how much it costs to run a sewer water system and do the evaluations, but it's pricey.
But these figures are from the budget that was done up by the water district?
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think that's a little low for the budget. I don't know, maybe they just took $55 because that's how much a standard colifler costs. Mm-hmm. You know, the monthly bill is $55. So, but we've been doing a lot of testing.
You've been doing different testing, more
efficient
testing?
I think we're just doing the standard testing. Yeah. I don't think we're doing anything out of school. It's just, it's expensive to do the testing.
I don't know if anything had to do with the
You only
study?
Have to do the extra testing is when you
Yes, plunk. Right. That's right.
Well, and believe it or not, you know, there's coliform testing is once a month required to draw the district we're
that's
in.
Right.
I but every month, tomorrow's the day.
Yeah.
And it's a set fee, $27.50. But granted, there's probably a different cost level for the type of testing they do. But we have these other tests that go through the year or every other year. $1,500, you know, and I mean, so there's other expenses in here for tests. My guess would be is that this $1,200 is an unrealistic figure that they popped in there, and maybe those costs were laid out somewhere else, because
they have to submit to you, don't they? Is it because they're union? What is that?
Well, no. I think Renee, what we're talking about here is the fact that, you know, you've got the budget, and this budget is what we got from sewer and water.
Yeah.
So that $1,200 came from the old sewer and water departments before the city took
over.
And now here we find ourselves paying a lot more for some unknown reason, and those numbers may be somewhere else in here just because they didn't break them out. But I know that that's the kind of number that's going to get Steve's attention, and
it does. And they go, look, this number's got my attention.
Anyway, just to
okay, and then to wrap it up, let's see. On the next page, number 3, we paid the USDA loan, so that's taken care of. There is a residual income of $127,000 for the first 8 months of the year. So we're not in too shabby of a shape. But a lot of that we're hoping to hang on to because we need reserves for those repairs.
Do we lose any reserves year over year?
You keep building them in.
Okay.
There's actually you know, you want to get to a level of reserves, and it has a lot to do, and I know Steve can correct me here, but has a lot to do with your aging system. As the system gets older, the level of reserves has to climb. taking into account repairs and stuff like that, but...
For budgeting, there isn't money that we will lose if we don't spend, is that...
No, heaven's sakes, no. I mean, if we even thought we were gonna lose it, we'd go spend it, okay? I mean, I gotta tell you, we're really good. And the other thing that I think we've been really good at as a city, and you really don't see it reflected in the budget, we've done a pretty good job this year of getting down on bended knee and asking for grant considerations and stuff. And it looks like if everything holds true, we're going to fare well this year with respect to monies available from other agencies to us to help us do things. Okay.
Next.
Sewer. Okay. Income, we're at 72%, which is about 8/12 of a year, so it looks like we're right on target with that. Under miscellaneous income, there's a negative $74,100. Bob, that was paid out to Deschutes County for SDCs for the Little Lodge, Deschutes Lodge 2. And our seppage dumpage, that's where people come and, what do you call that?
Affluent.
Affluent, thank you. So, we get money for that. Right, Kitty?
Well, I would hope so.
Well, you go there, right? You're...
No.
Oh, you don't, guys don't go there? Okay.
No, we have our own disposal site.
No, we need, okay. We need to make Kitty go there for me. Is that the budget committee's consent?
We have a tower. We have a tower rent that we get in, and that is almost, I think it's probably going to be more. I don't know how that's paid out. I think it might be quarterly that we get money for that.
Oh, we get it once a year at some firm in Spokane. And it's like a 30-year contract. It's over on the sewer property, and they have a cell tower, and that's the annual fee for that revenue source. So we've been approached by a couple agencies that would like us to sell them the contract, and they give us a large sum of money, you know, 7 or 8 years worth of revenue if we turned it over to them. Something we need to think about maybe at some point, but for right now, we've got a nice guaranteed income source. We should just be thankful we have it and look for more similar ones like it.
Okay, let's see. Our auditor, we paid them and they were a little over the estimation. And then legal fees has a negative number and I have not looked that up, so I will. Why do we have a negative number in a expense account? Let's see, going on to page 2. I don't think there's any surprise under office and insurance. We did get an insurance refund, so we have a negative number there. And everything for the insurance, again, is in the general fund. And there's no rent because we don't pay rent. Telephone is okay. We don't have any problem there. We've actually cut down on the cost because we've, you know, consolidated phones. And our employee retirement benefits are less because we have less expenses. Payroll is about half, and that would be to be expected since we had a laid off employee. Under the systems operation, maybe this is where some of those would go for the lab testing, and they're split between water and sewer, but I couldn't tell you for sure. Crop expense, we haven't had any. Electricity is over. It does cost a lot of money for running those operations out there. Because we've got different facilities that we're paying electricity on. And we haven't had very many repairs here. So we have under systems operation, $17,000 budgeted for that. and we've only spent 800. Then there's septic expense, and I'm not quite sure what was anticipated with the budget of 150,000.
That's amazing.
Maybe there was some repairs that they were anticipating to do, but we haven't done them.
Well, we don't know what that means.
Yeah, so we're not sure what that means. And then on page 3, we end up with an income of 99,000 year to date. And again, we want to consider that as reserve as much as possible.
Any questions?
Write them up and send them in if you have any.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to take this away after we've walked through it and look over it. And when's our first budget?
10th.
The 10th of
10th
April?
10th of April.
10th of April?
All right.
Okay.
And before that, on March 16th, 9 to noon, the council's going to meet, and we're going to talk about priorities. And that will help.
Goals?
Well, we'll talk about goals, but as part of that, we'll talk about priorities, too. We have a bunch of priorities out there.
It's a Saturday.
This Saturday.
Finally, a Saturday meeting?
Saturday meeting.
Wow.
Next time, a week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday.
Yeah. Is that posted? Has that been published?
I think we posted it. Are we sure we have?
If we haven't, we will.
Okay.
I can't remember.
You know, we probably get a lot more people in on meetings to come and sit. Local people that live in the
if we were on a Saturday?
If it was on a Saturday, say at 10 or 11 in the morning, where they're not scurried around during the week at 6 p.m., desperately trying to get home, feed their kids, yada, yada. They're not going to bother coming to any of these meetings. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Well, we do that. I mean, it seems like I'm down here every Saturday anyway.
Yes.
So to me, it's just we're working every Saturday.
I rarely see any that are happening on the weekend.
Well, for instance, this last Saturday, we had the HOA here, did we not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's something going on.
No, I'm good. Okay.
I got to tell you, this place has been found. It's
Thank
on a lot
you.
Of radar screens,
good.
And it gets a lot of use.
Are there any questions dealing with what we've talked about in the budget workshop? If there are not, we will close the budget workshop and we will return to our council session. And
I just want to say thank you. Yes, I think this is going to be real beneficial going into the deliberations on the next budget.
I'd like to say thank you all for coming. I know you've had a busy day.
Yeah, I got it down.
Most of you have. So thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, thanks.
And now you can go back to a warm dinner.
Thank you very much.
And I'll send out an email about the budget training.
Yeah, we're out of the budget meeting and we're in the council meeting.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I'll get that out to you.
Maybe.
Have fun.
Maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you. At this time, before we start the council session, we'll take 5 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
I think putting together the books on...
Kitty, did you notice how good I was? How quiet I was?
You were. I remember
my mother would be home. Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If this meeting had been last night, I was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just telling myself to bite my tongue and shut up. I get so angry when it's looking at you. I don't know what to say. I can't breathe.
I can't either.
Yes,
it just stresses me out.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to make an intelligent comment, and you're going,
what the hell? And I've had problems, so when the name comes out, and I saw, was it the COC or the transits? It was like, oh, I don't understand that. I can't wait to do it.
Yes, exactly. But I was good tonight.
It was good.
I was very quiet.
We can't, it's too small. To send everybody to where I live.
I'm pretty sure I don't use it.
Oh, I know that, I'm pretty sure too, but, no, I don't want anyone to know about it. I used to have it on the door. Oh, my trash can is empty, what's what? In other words, it wasn't empty, and they bring it over with them.
Say whatever you have, what's interesting is we've got the car.
See, I'll be gone tomorrow, and I'll be gone Friday. I'll just have to drop the dog back in your yard. Okay.
It's been a fun visit.
It has been. I love doing it.
It's been fun seeing you.
Tell everybody hi for us. Was this a concert? How are you? You were having a bonfire.
See you, Rick. Sell out arena. Is there breakfast in the morning? No, it's next week. See you later, partner.
It's just like.
We will bring ourselves back to our meeting after a 5-minute break, which was necessary for some of us. And I thank Stu for reminding me. At this time, we'd like to have our Park and Rec people join us. I see on the agenda Bob Schultz and Robert Ray, so if you just join us at the table.
You're going to just sit next to Angel Black.
Sorry right here by the room.
I can't go there.
They're not.
Oh, come on. At least you're not by my shoes.
That's true. Right? Not to be by the end of this meeting either. Well, Mr. Mayor and Council, please thank you for letting us come. I'd like to also thank the board members that came with me tonight. As I know we've discussed, what we're really here to do is ask a couple of questions for clarification. We too are in the budget making process, and some of the stuff we want to talk about tonight is really, it's pertinent to that. So, as you know, everybody on the council, I'm sure, The BLM is transferring parcel C, which includes library and parks property, to the city, and then the city is going to transfer that to library and parks. And we did meet with manager Steve Hassan and myself and the librarian from Bin, and we did agree at the time that the library wants the property up to the fence and they're part of the parking lot unless they were going to give to parks. And so we're waiting still for a letter of understanding, our memorandum of understanding from Steve, which we haven't seen yet. So we do need to, you know, ask about the update on that. And also, Steve had conveyed to me a couple times that there was part of this parcel that he was going to divide up for the city, and it would be on the other side, the south side of 2nd Avenue. When we had a board meeting, we invited Teresa Rosa from Deschutes County, who was in charge of this transfer, to come speak to our board members about this parcel transfer as well as others. And she told us the good news to us was that for parcel C, there would be no charge for the transfer. We're at a disagreement, I guess. I'm not sure if that's too strong a word, because Steve has been mentioning there will be some kind of fee. I don't know if that fee is associated with the fact because he wants to divide this triangle. So that's what we're here to find out tonight and discuss with you. We really don't understand why part of that property is taken out of our hands when Teresa said it's all for park or library use. So we're here to ask that question and find out what information you've got for us.
Okay, well, let me give you an overview. We go back to the late 90s, and in the late 90s, the BLM entered into an agreement with the library district where they could lease this roughly 3 acres of property. And ever since then, they've been leasing it. They have a lease arrangement. It's pretty elaborate. It says, you know, you need to do these performances, this and that, whatever. Okay, and then sometime, I guess a couple of years ago, the library subleased a portion of the land to the park district. And I haven't seen that lease agreement, but as I understood it, the lease agreement was between the library and the park district. Meantime, there's been an effort for the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, to have the BLM transfer 3 properties to either the city or the county. And their parcels A, B, and C. And parcel A is the 150 acres that the Lapine Act, which Congress passed and the President signed, will go directly to the Deschutes County. And then my understanding is Deschutes County is going to work something out where it becomes the property, I assume, of the Park District. Is that not correct?
Correct. Okay. We're really only here to talk about
parks. No, I'm just running through them real quick. And then there's the second property, the 750 acres, that's coming to the county, but then in turn will come to the city. Okay. And then there's some environmental review that needs to go with that. And then thirdly, there's a piece of property, and I don't know why Therese is involved in this at all, because I'm dealing directly with Phil Paterno from BLM, where that property comes directly to the city. Okay, so when that property comes to the city, and I don't know when that's going to occur, it should occur sometime this year, then in anticipation of that, and we've talked already, there's going to be two agreements. Well, there's going to be a lease and then there's going to be an agreement. We'll have a commercial lease with the library district and probably with the park district, in which until it's conveyed to you folks that, you know, here, you know, it's city property, you provide for this care and maintenance of it, and some of that will be obligations that the BLM passes through to us that we just simply pass on to you. I don't think in our lease arrangement with you until you have the property that we're looking for anything more than to protect the city's interests. Okay, that's the only aim there. And then meantime, go ahead.
Can Can I stop you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, we said we weren't interested in you being our landlord on this property. So I'm a little confused that we're back there again.
Okay, well, it just doesn't automatically transfer to you folks. You have to go through a land use where it gets split. Okay, it has to be subdivided,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be through a city process, and that might take some months. It also needs to be surveyed. It has not been surveyed. And so even if the city wasn't involved, just simply the library is going to split the land from the park, so you have two parcels,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the road, that's three parcels. All that needs to be surveyed. You can't, because you're going to need deeds, and you can't have deeds unless it's surveyed. And then it needs to be recorded. So you've got to go through a land use process, you've got to go through survey, you've got to have deeds, you've got to have it recorded. And I can see that taking a year to have all that done. I mean, that's just, because I've been in land use for a long time, it takes a long time to get all that done and transferred and documented and recorded. So that means for a year, the city is going to sit there with land in its possession with two tenants on it. And so whether you want to have a lease with us or not, the reality is until it's in your ownership, it's in the city ownership, and the city, just from a risk management point of view, is going to want our interests protected. You're going to have kids on there, you're going to have activities on there. If something were to happen there, then we would want to make sure that whatever happened there stayed with the respective districts and didn't come over here to us. So that's it. It's not that we don't want you to have the land and we don't want to make it any more inconvenient, but there is a land use process and, you know, a division process that has to occur.
Okay, so 2 points.
Okay.
You haven't addressed the point that you've said you're going to keep part of that property. So I haven't heard that answer.
Okay.
And then number two, if the county's not involved, why do we keep, and I mean, you did refer to the county to send us the maps of that parcel for reference. They're not involved at all. It's very confusing to me.
Okay, well, I asked because we don't have map-making capabilities here at the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an agreement with the county to provide mapping services for us. And so because there wasn't any good map of parcel C other than that little one that I had from the transfer process, I asked Tim Berg, well, I asked Tom, who's the director over there, if I could use his staff's assistance to help create that map.
So I guess what we need to do then as an agency is check back with Teresa and the county to find out why they're so confused that they think that they're in part of this land transfer.
Well, they aren't in any way, to my knowledge, with respect to parcel C. The Act says direct that the land directly comes to the city.
Are we in disagreement with that?
I'm not in disagreement with that,
but what Teresa did do is come to the board. She specifically spoke to this parcel. She said that the BLM had assured her there'd be no transferring fees. That was the good news. She told us the fees for the other parcel, which we will be getting. And so when we've checked back with her, which we just recently met with the commissioner and with the planning department, they reiterated the whole thing. You know, that's absolutely for park use. No, there will be no transfer fee. So that's where I'm confused, Steve.
Okay, so let's just talk the fees. There's two things I haven't answered yet.
Mm-hmm, sure.
One of them is fees, and that is I asked the council if there are fees associated with the transfer process, should not the library district and the park and recreation district assume those costs?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I got back, and they're here so they can correct me if I'm wrong, is yes. So what might those costs be? Okay, well, there's going to be a land use cost for a division. And, you know, likely the council has the capacity to set aside that cost. There are survey costs. Survey costs are very expensive. I don't see the city paying for survey costs unless there is some division of land that we're participating in, and we may very well share those costs. For instance, I'm saying to the council, as part of our transportation system planning process, that Second Avenue needs to go through that parcel. And obviously, that would need to be surveyed, and I would think that the city, who would be the recipient of that street, would probably pay for that cost, but some of the survey costs would go to you folks, and then the cost of the deeds and any recordation and any title searches, those would be the costs. And that's all we're talking about in terms of cost. As far as environmental review costs, as you've heard and I've heard, there aren't any. So I'm not talking mammoth number in terms of cost, but nonetheless, dividing the lands up and doing it according to Hoyle is going to have some costs associated with it.
So the final question you haven't answered.
Oh, is the division of the line. And again, that is just up in the air. What I've suggested is that there is a little tract of land that's left over on the south side of this parcel that fronts on Huntington. It's about 7,000 square feet. It's zoned for some kind of activity that would, you know, and I'm looking at maybe a cultural arts center. I mean, one of the things that I've been asked to look at as a priority is culture and arts. And the thinking was, well, maybe that would be a great place for a cultural arts center. Okay, now that's not to say that land would be with the city. That cultural arts center might very well be with the park district.
Which is what I've suggested.
And there's, you know, and again, so it really isn't so much who has ownership of it, but what would its use be? I think that's the more of the driving consideration than who ends up with it.
Well, I've suggested all along if it's a cultural center, it seems to work very well with park and recs.
And I don't disagree. Okay.
Well, then I don't know.
Well, and again, we haven't got into negotiations yet either. Okay. And you know, and I guess another thing is we're real close. I received a draft just today, and I haven't looked it over, from our attorney, and it's a two-part thing. Again, it's a lease until such times as we're in a position to give it to you. And then it's an agreement. It's a three-party agreement that says how that land transfers from the city to the park district and to the library district. And if we don't end up with anything more than the road, and to the city for the road. Okay.
Robert, I don't know if you have an additional comment.
Uh-huh. So is the council considering retaining that piece of property? I guess that's my question.
The council has not taken that under advisement, nor it is a policy issue whether we would keep that land or not, and that's not come to the council yet. So at some point in time, just as we proceed down the road of having the land transfer and those pieces of it, I think it'll be more than appropriate for the council to make a decision whether we want to retain that property in any fashion. Other than the street that goes through there.
With all respect, Mr. Mayor, the only reason we came here tonight with board representatives is because we kept being told that you were going to retain that. So that's the only reason we're here.
Okay.
I'm going to be totally brutally honest. That's the only reason we're here.
Okay.
And if you're going to retain that piece of property, are you going to be charging us a lease for that piece of property that you're going to retain? So is that something that we're going to be responsible for?
Again, anything that ends up with you folks, other than the cost of transfer, would, well, I guess there's two questions. One is, yes, for the year that we have the property, or however long it is until it's in your hands, is there going to be any lease charge or any charge on the part of the city? I don't see the city, and again, it's these folks' decision, but I don't see us charging you a penny. And the only thing that I think we would want that you'd have to dig in your pocket for is probably have us as a named insured on your policy and whatever that cost is, so that if you're going to do park activities there, that you're protecting the city interests until you have it in your possession.
But
okay.
But I guess my question is, if we're not going to get possession of it, why would we have to carry insurance on it?
Say that again.
Talking about keeping the parcel here for the city and the Cultural Arts Center. If you're going to maintain it, are we going to have to insure that when it's something that you're going to retain?
Let me just say my perception of this as I can't speak for the council, other than to say that's an issue. If the city was going to keep that property, it would be an issue that would come before the council to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's a policy decision of whether the city owns that property or not. And I can't sit here in a work session and say anything about, other than the fact that would come to the council to make the decision. And whether we keep it or not.
I guess it just makes sense to me that the park district would have it, since we have a much larger tax base and probably a greater opportunity to develop that than the city does with their limited funds. So it's something I think that the park should probably be looking at rather than the city kind of trying to get into
I can't argue that position. But, you know, again, it's going to get looked at as an issue for the city to decide, and it's the council that will do that.
Can I ask who would bring that to the council then? Are you going to go ahead and put that on the... I mean, is that something that we need to bring back to you, or are you just going to have it as something you're going to review?
Well, here's sort of what I envision as the process, and that is I'm going to look these two draft documents over. I'll talk to Jeremy, and we'll tighten them up, and then we'll present them to you and to Todd Dunkelberg. And then you'll take them to your respective bodies and look them over and say, yeah, this looks good, these agreements look good, we understand the nature of them, first of all, and we're fine with that, and second of all, we're agreeable to all the terms here. Or you'll look at it and you'll say, you know, most all this we're in agreement with, or we're not, and here's where we're in disagreement. And then wherever we finally end up our negotiations, that'll come back to the council.
Okay.
And then the council will decide anything that's different where we may differ. Okay.
Right.
And you know, quite frankly, we may not differ at all when it's all done and said. Mm-hmm. But normally that's how contracts around here evolve, is they start at staff level. And when staff thinks that they've got something, then they take it to their respective councils, and then it gets agreed. Because these folks here, the final deciders of all this anyway, because it's going to be their land to give to the park district and the library district.
Well, with all due respect, Steve, I understand that.
Okay.
I've been in civil servant for over 33 years,
yep.
And the only reason we came, it's because I was being told by you that wasn't the way it was working. So
okay.
I'm just here to clarify that. And I have a couple more questions, if
sure.
You don't mind, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
So we can all sleep tonight. Because what kicks in my head, being a bureaucrat, is that if you are the owner of the property for that year or whatever it takes, every event we try to schedule, all those things that are going to have to go through the city for permits and for approvals, and maybe for part of the revenue share, and we're going to be expected to maintain and pay for all the park property and its upkeep. Is that something you're envisioning?
Well, I hadn't even thought about it.
Well, I have.
Okay, I the only thing I've thought about is whether when we're in a lease position, lease or leasee position, would the city want to charge you anything for the land? And I think my view, and it's the council's final decision, is no. And then on the other hand, do we want a part of your gross receipts for that year? I don't think so either. I mean, I truly think that the whole goal is to put it in your hands, and the only concern, from my point of view, until you have it in your hands, is should something happen during the course of that year, 6 months or whatever it is, where someone is injured or hurt or something, that cost doesn't anymore come back here to the city than it has to. And it's just risk management. How do I protect the interests of the city until such times as I can put it in your hands? And I don't think there's going to be any dilly-dallying either. And that is, it just takes time to go through land use processes. It takes time to get surveyors to go out and do surveying. It takes time for deeds to get recorded. It takes time to construct them. You know, and again, I just, having done a lot of that, like you, 30-some years, I just know it takes time. And in fact, I don't even know when we're even going to get the land to give to you.
Okay.
All right? But there's no hidden agenda here. It should be wide open and seamless.
I hope so.
Okay.
Anywhere, Robert? Thank you, Council and Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to move right along and move to item number 6, discussion on pumping septic tanks in Cagle subdivision. And I'll ask the city manager to take up that topic. Paul, you want to join? Is Paul going to join us?
I don't. Is Paul? Are you Paul?
Yeah.
Why don't you join us up here?
Is there any heat in this building?
I don't know. I'm not allowed to play with the environment anymore.
The AC kicked on.
I had planned to put heat in this building this year and just hadn't got around to it yet.
I was warm in here and I told him to wait here.
Well, he's got 5 coats on.
What happened?
All right.
It's the easiest system.
We have received, the city's received 2 letters. We received a letter from, it's Mr. Hatcher, right?
Yeah, Paul.
Paul, and we talked the other day on the phone. We had quite a good conversation. And then we received a corresponding letter, and I say corresponding, similar letter, from Jack Ebner.
Ebner, yeah.
Ebner, okay.
Ebner.
We're going to add another.
In ebb and flow.
We're going to add another B to his name. All right, and there's sort of twofold to these, to this letter. We have just north of Burgess, we have a large area in the city that's known as the Cagle, a neighborhood or Cagle subdivision, and it has roughly 350 land parcels in it. This is an older subdivision. These are generally 1 acre plus land parcels. A lot of this land is developed. Most all of it has some kind of a well for potable water purposes and a septic tank. And the city has not had, you know, we weren't in the sewer and the water business until July 1st. So this wasn't even anything that we could consider, and that was the pumping of septic tanks up there in the Cagle neighborhood, because it wasn't part of our city operation. But then as of July 1st, we took over sewer and water. And so now we have a request from these two gentlemen to consider, I don't know outright or as an option, of providing for septic tank dumping. Up there, and then also there was another question related to that, and that is, you know, not only do we want you, the city, to consider the possibility of providing for the the septic tank clean out, but also, we were told a long time ago that sewer, public sewer and water would be available up in the Cagle neighborhood. And so we really would like the city to consider that as well. And so I wrote a letter to Mr. Ebner yesterday, and I also sent a copy to you, Paul, and right. Hopefully you got it.
Yep.
And I didn't in any way say, no, we can't do either one of these, but the letter, more than anything, I believe all of you got a copy of it, says, you know, here's all the dynamics and considerations of doing these things. And let me just start with the sewer and the water. You know, I've been here a year. I've been up in the Kegel neighborhood a lot, talking to people about dust and roads and trees and dogs and all kinds of things. And invariably, the whole issue of sewer and water has come up because we have the potential to sewer and water that area. And so far, the message that I've received back is, you know, we're very satisfied with our on-site treatment system, and we're very comfortable relying upon our on-site wells for potable water services, which is a nice way of saying, you know, we're not interested in your sewer and water. And at the same time, we haven't had any public agency come in and say, you know, city, you need to provide for this service up here. And so, you know, I know that we're poised to provide for that service up there if folks up there want it. But I guess we're not going to know unless we go up there and ask. And so what I'm recommending as a sort of a resolution, a next step in sewer and water, is to have a public meeting up in the Kegel neighborhood and just ask those folks, are they receptive to sewer and water? And then if they say no, then I think the council has to make a decision, okay, is there some overriding concern that prompts the city to want to be up there anyway? Because I think the city could just, by resolution, say, well, we're going to do it anyway. But, you know, the question is, do you really want to do that? So I'm throwing that out on the table as a way to address this issue with respect to the sewer and water, is to go ask the people what they think. And I think also, if there are people that want it and need it, and one of the reasons that people would want it is because there's a lot of older septic systems up there, and I think some of them are on their last legs, and as I understand the new rules, it's going to be real pricey for them to replace them, which then begs the question, well, why not have the city provide that service, and then we have a long-term relief? And again, the city can do it. When we took over the sewer and the water district, we had a number of discussions with them. They were poised to do it. I think the city's position is we're poised to do that as well, provided there's reception to doing that, and we're not going to know unless we go ask. And in the same breath, I think those who want it should help rally to make it happen. Okay.
I just had a guy come today, and he was promised 12 years ago that the sewer was going to be put in, and he says, well, I'll even dig the ditch to, you know, from his property. And I don't want to get too specific because I don't want any fallout to come to him, okay? He said he would dig the ditch if he could hook up to it, and he'll give $12,000 to the sewer district. And the reason why was because he had to put in the sand filter. And so his thing is, hey, I got to put in the sand filter. I'll give you the money. Let me hook up. It's only 100 yards, and I'll dig it. I'll dig it. All you got to do is do it. They declined 12 years ago. Mr. Ebner had to leave because he had a 7 o'clock meeting. He asked me to give you a couple suggestions he wants you guys to kind of look up, and I think it's a great idea to go to the public meeting, because the one guy that came up to me says that no one's ever come back to him again to say, would you hook up? And I think, and I just talked to him today because he came over to the ranch to do some work, and I said, hey, you're right there, would you hook up? He says, I'd hook up in a heartbeat. And I said, will you put in a sand filter? He says, it's going to go down one of these days. Let me hook up and pay him $1,000, $5,000, I don't care, but sooner or later that's going to go down. And I ain't paying 17 and then paying a month maintenance fee or whatever it is every 2 years to somebody. So there's people that will do it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to carry that in. So, I mean, there is somebody out there right now, right on Burgess, that's willing to pay it, other than just who sent you a letter. It just happened today, and he happened to be there, and I asked him. What's happening is, one of the suggestions that when you go to the neighborhoods is ask each one of those people, when and if your system fails, what is your option? And if they can't give you an option, that means they ain't going to come with a 17 grand, and they're just going to let it go onto the ground. then you got to have a neighbors doing it, which isn't going to keep us in any kind of happiness with the EPA or the DEQ. And one way, as I told you, is pretty simple. I think the guy's name is Tim, but I think he's in the county building. He can tell you how many are metal tanks. Because if they don't have a record of it, it's a metal tank.
That's true.
So if you got 150 of them, then the EPA might come back in and try to give you money to put in part of it. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, if you have some kind of number. The second part of it was the reason on the full pumping that really got some of these people interested, and I said, well, listen, let me talk to a couple people, is it cost them $5,300 to pump last year, and they're only open 4 hours every Sunday. Okay? And the reason they have to be pumped is because when they put in the church, they were point blank told 9 years ago, you will have sewer hookups. So what they said, what do we need to hook up to the sewer? And the DEQ said, you've got to put in two 2,000 gallon tanks, put in this alarm system, and then put, you know, I'm going to exaggerate, I don't know exactly, 1,000 feet of leach lines, or pump it out. Well, when the city said, well, when I not say city, excuse me, the sewer says, hey, we're going to come out there, mm-hmm. They said, okay, well, that'll be fine. We can hold this for a couple of years until you guys get this done. It's been 9 years. The last 2 years has cost them $5,300, and one of the reasons why is not on a standard pumping type system. And what you guys do, I think, in the city on the bigger businesses, and I may just use like Harvest Depot or, you know, whoever else, you know, a restaurant, you guys probably come in on a standard day and pump. Doesn't matter, you know, once a month. Once every 2 weeks. Some of these people right there on Burgess, which are in the city limits, are saying, why can't we get part of that so these costs drop down? Because it's standard. And you guys have to check and see if your systems and stuff can handle it. But I'm just saying, if it's given as an option, you're not taking anything away from Jake Russell or Shields or anybody else. You're just giving them another option. And at $5,300, and they also have to pay, because they went that route, they've got to pay $544 every year to the DEQ just to have tanks. If they would have put in the leach lines. So $544. So when you add it up, they're paying almost $5,800. And they've been, you know, I mean, obviously it's gone up with time, but the last 2 years, that's the price. So $5,800 is quite a bit to only use something for four hours, four times a month. That's why we're kind of pleading to say, hey, look, we're right here on Burgess. His last option he gave me just when he walked out, he says, offer to them, because the guy that came to me would fit in that situation. He says, why can't you rezone, since you guys now have that authority? Try to rezone the first two lots in among Burgess Road to allow sewer hookups and water to come in. And this one guy that came to me and said, hey, I'll give him 12 grand. You know what I mean? He says, I really don't need the water. But I guess when they go to lay the sewer, they'll probably lay the water pipe too. So, yeah, what the heck. You know, that was his attitude. But they're saying, hey, can you rezone it? Just two lots in. So then you take up all the commercials. You take up anybody that's got street size, where you got to lay the pipe anyway. And then if you want to keep expanding, you can. And so their thought process is that. He's also the one that owns a lot of lots with an investor. So they were kind of led astray. And, I mean, I know everybody's... You know, hey, you put your money out there to try to make money, and sometimes you guess wrong. Well, they guessed that the sewer was coming in, so they have a bunch of 2.5 acre lots. They would rezone them and put like 7 houses on 2.5 acres. So now you have 7 hookups. It helps in your urban growth boundary density, because now you've taken 2.5 acres that would only have 2 residents. You've now got 7. And I'm not saying you need to know, you need to increase, but I know that sooner or later your urban growth boundary has to have a certain density before you can move it or some crazy. I don't know everything. I live out on a ranch, okay? So I just know that that's some things that need to be thought about. And they're saying they're willing to do it. And you know why they haven't built? They're waiting for the sewer. They said, look, I'm not going to drop $20,000 and only build one house. He says, I could hook up all 7 for probably that and build 7 houses, and we got the money to start building. So I mean, it's a little bit further on that thing. Did that all make sense?
No, it makes sense.
Okay. So, anyway, that was it. I think I kind of put it in a nutshell. So, if you guys can get two lots in, there's a couple people that will sign up almost immediately off of Burgess. I can't believe the daycare wouldn't want to hook up to it. You know what I mean? I don't know what they pump into, you know what I mean, on the corner. That strip mall, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty close to the river, so something's going somewhere.
Well, they've got tanks, Paul.
So they're pumping up every 5 minutes.
See, we supply them water.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying, in general, if you start looking, I'm just saying, I don't know if you guys got the capacity.
Well, and again, that's why we want to bring an engineer on board. And because when I go out and meet with, or the council goes out and meets with these folks in the Cagle neighborhood, invariably the first question they're going to ask, because I've been in the sewer business before, is what's it going to cost us?
Right.
And so I'm going to need to have engineering evaluation of what those costs will be so I can have people make a good business decision whether their septic system, whatever shape it's in, and the consequences of having to replace it versus connecting up to public sewer, how does that fare for them?
Right.
Okay. And then, you know, you saw the letter.
Yeah, I saw
about pumping. And I didn't really answer your question and say, well, we can or we can't. I thought it was important for the council to see all the considerations that need to be taken into account, and you can see there's quite a few of them here.
Oh, no, they are.
And those mostly are policy decisions, you know, like, does the city want to compete with private enterprise?
Right.
I think a big policy decision for the council to determine.
Stu? Has this gone to our public works?
And that would be my next recommendation, is that the next place that this would be seen and debated. So that we, because truly we rely upon our public works committee to give direction back to council. I don't think that anything is out of line here by having Paul or this gentleman coming in. These are very, I mean, truly at some point the Cagle neighborhood needs public sewer and water. At some point there's a question about to what extent the city provides for pumping services and the community. These are very important questions.
I just didn't want our public works committee to be left out.
Well, you beat me to it. So, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, and they'd beat me up if I did, you know.
Well,
right. You know, we can't. That's part of the process.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember something, too. I don't live in the city.
Right.
And so that's one of, even though I didn't tell him, that's one of the reasons they wanted, because I have no financial gain or loss on bringing this up. Because I'm outside, you'll never get to me on the ranch. You know what I mean? Well, hey, you better do a lot of high density in a hurry.
Well, one of the reasons I enjoyed our conversation is I could tell you were a smart cookie, and I appreciate your input.
Well, I appreciate it, but I...
Let me just say that, and Stu, you would know. Last year, it seems to me, last year or the year before, there was a lot said to do about people's tanks overflowing and the counties making them put in these new systems. And I believe that Rick Allen was our city manager at that time and went to the county, and the county has worked out, I can't quite remember all the details, the idea that based upon the fact that sewer and water was going to come there, and if I'm not mistaken, it had to do with something in the next couple of years, that the county was going to hold back and let them repair their systems and not force them, I think they're called ADAs?
Or something.
I think that's the American Disabilities Act.
Not that one.
It's something else. ADTs or whatever it is. But I remember something like that, and that's what I was telling you the other day, Steve. So it's there's more discussion that we need to have.
Oh,
And I think he's described it very well of bringing the subject, you know, looking at the subject through engineering and having our public works get involved in this and actually doing the groundwork. But there's nothing wrong. I firmly believe that people ought to be able to come to the council work sessions and or council meetings and express their views. So I appreciate you coming.
No problem. Yeah, and like I said, if you guys, if the, you call it the Public Work Committee, and I'm assuming you're part of the Public Work Committee.
Oh, you've got two behind you.
Yeah. The reason why they need to take a look at this, you know, what I'm trying to, you know, look at, is some of the people out there know their tanks are failing, but they don't have the money. And somehow they have to understand this is going to be the cheapest way to go if we can get the EPA to jump in and let them beat their chest saying, hey, we helped on the nitrate. I don't believe in the nitrate thing. Okay, I'm a chemical engineer. I don't believe in it. But I'm just saying, if you got septic systems that aren't working, something is getting into the ground sooner or later, and it will affect something, and it will affect the neighbors. And I'm just saying if you give them some options. But the other thing is, a lot of these people are a little upset that they voted to get into the city, you know what I mean, and paying taxes, and they're going, we were promised sewer. When is it coming? And no one's ever really said. And I know you guys just took it over, but somebody just needs to send out, hey, we're reviewing this. We're hoping that maybe something can be decided in 3 years. Just so they have hope, because right now it's been 10 years on one guy and 12 on another guy.
I think that's valid. Yeah. Right. Very valid comments.
Well, and that 10 and 12 years ago, I don't even, well, you know, the corporation had failed and the city wasn't even being considered.
Hey, I'm just saying, like I said, I just had this business guy show up at my place, and
my dude didn't deserve.
Yeah, and he's really close. Yeah. I mean, he's looking at it, it's right there, and he knows his sand filter is going to go down because he put it 12 years ago.
Well, they're trying to do the right thing.
Right, and they're saying, hey, come on. Yeah. And if you start, maybe the EPA, I don't know who else you can get money. I don't know how to get money. Okay, I have to work for it. Someone show me how to get money. I'll be more than glad.
I have a book that says, here's how you can make all the money for free the rest of your life. Ooh. Just come see me.
Well, that.
Paul, thank you very much for coming.
I'm gonna go, okay.
Kitty has a comment.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, yeah. Do you mind if I make a couple of comments before this gentleman leaves?
I want to move this on, so you got 2 minutes.
Thank you. Number one, my name's Kitty Shields, and I'm one of the owners of Shields Septic Tank Service.
Right.
And I'd like to start first, Steve, by saying thank you for your consideration about not wanting to compete with private business.
Have you read the letter that I sent?
No, we don't see it that way. Kegel subdivision is a subdivision in need of some help. This gentleman made some very, very good points, and there are a lot of old steel tanks there that are rusting out. And over in recent years, we have told a lot of our customers, hold on, this tank will last for X number of years. Hopefully, you will have sewer in that area by now. We expect to see it come. We want to see it come in because it's the best thing for the community. And then we've also, Leon, my brother, who's my partner in the business, have also, among ourselves, talked about the thing that you had talked about, Mr. Mayor, and that is that it would be a good idea to try to work something in the interim with the county so that when these people do need to, when their only problem is inadequate drain field because it's an older drain field and there's not enough of it, please allow them to just add on to it so that they can continue to use their system until the city can expand out there. It'd be really great if the city could make their own rules in the interim to help these people get by without huge expense until you can get sewer and water up there.
What's your phone?
Can we do that?
536-3462.
All right. One quick comment is that we know that there was a time when sewer and water was ready to annex. Mm-hmm. And the city said no. And that was before we took them over and everything. And they are, they, there are engineering plans right now associated with the Cagle subdivision at a point in time when the sewer and water was independent and they were able to go in there and do that. That was all planned. And that was where some of the promises came from. But I think the second piece of this is, right now, there are so many metal tanks out in that area that it is prudent for us to move forward with finding some kind of collective information, because Paul is right that these people don't have the money, they're not going to complain, and there's probably seepage, I know there is, in these metal tanks. And it's important that there's stuff going in the ground. So that's all I have.
At this point, the county is still allowing tank replacement only, as long as the drain plant is working. But any of that is an expense that hopefully people wouldn't have to do. Sooner to get sewer to
bed. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks for meeting you.
Our next item on the menu is cheeseburger.
French fries.
Item here, Paul.
Item 7 is notice of base travel message mileage increase to 56 cents per mile. Please take notice of that when you're filling out your expense accounts. And we'll move to item 8, which is public comments. And I think we have...
56.5.
Okay, you got your hand up first, but this young man's going to, he's been waiting patiently all night.
Why don't you join us up here at the table?
Oh. Here comes our
youth. Now, I want to say that I met this gentleman this morning. There was a career day at the middle school, and this gentleman came up and told me that he was an advocate for a skate park, is that not correct? And then when would the city get off the dime and start considering things like this? And I said, you know, it's a lot better if a citizen has a concern that they bring it here so we can address it rather than sitting here trying to anticipate what all the needs of the community are. Just as that last gentleman was here, and he's got a concern, he wanted us to know about it. We want to know what your concern is.
So tell us who you are and dive in.
I think he's fabulous already. He's still awake.
Anybody that would sit through our budget thing and not die gets a medal.
Please.
I'm Braxton Irvin. I'm 14 years old. I'm just a local kid. Me and my friends skate around town, and we're not getting chased off by business owners with brooms, we're getting chased off by the cops. So we need somewhere to escape, a safe spot. And I had thoughts of, like, we have the event center.
Uh-huh.
And last year I talked to the person, I don't remember her name, but she works, and they have the after school program called The Hub.
Uh-huh.
And she let us skate in, like, a little area back there, and instead of sinking like 8 mil into a full-blown skate park, we could just like set a few $100 aside, build like ramps and what we need, and work out a schedule with the event center where we can like skate there. We can have like we can have kids fill out like a form and have their parents or guardians sign it, so we don't have to worry about like legal issues with people like, you know. Hmm. Eating it and suing. And so then Justin Cutler from Parks and Rec shut me down last year. He never really called me back, but I offered to teach a skate class, which we could charge for.
Mm.
And that would bring more money. And we could also charge for like a 2-hour skate session, like maybe like $5 rate or whatever you guys want to work out. And then we could just have like kids go and skate there. And we just build ramps and stuff that aren't concreted there, so whenever people need the event center, then we can just shut it down, move everything aside, and then just be good.
Have you talked to the gentleman was here,
sitting right
Bob Schultz? Have you talked to, he's the park director now, have you talked to him about this? He's got extensive experience and background, and I'm not not running you off from the city or anything, because this is important to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be glad to go over there with you, and we could talk to them together if you'd like.
Great.
And maybe some of your friends, too. And go over there and maybe come up with some temporary solution. And I guess Conrad is your friend, too. And Conrad is going to join us on the city council here next week, and just expressly for this purpose, so that your voice is heard on this council. You have an active role in our community and what goes on here, because you're the future, you know. And that's why we do some of what we do, is to accommodate future needs. Okay.
Does that sound good? City manager's offered to go over there with you, and I think that's a great opportunity.
Let me give you my phone number here.
How are you going to get home?
Yeah, I was going to ask
My mom's over at the high school booster club.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
He's going to say, you can't go out in the dark, young man.
This is our mother.
Yeah, she won't let me go out in the dark either, you know.
You're always in the dark.
Even though they keep me in the dark.
I've got all
I'm going to give you a message.
He works
just
in the dark.
Just
yeah.
For this one, I know it was.
Yeah, I built my kids a half, half
give that to Terry Meyer.
When they were his age.
I appreciate
no, it'll be on Facebook in the next half hour.
Yeah, well, would you do me a favor? Excuse me, Stu. I apologize. We need to have you give the administrator your name so she can get it in the records.
Go ahead.
Just say it.
No. Yeah. Just tell her.
Braxton Irvin, BRAXTONIRVIN.
Thank you, Braxton.
So, how long have you had this idea? How long have you been skateboarding?
I've had this game for about 6 years. This idea kind of workshopped about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Where was the workshop?
My brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
your brain?
Great. That's a good place.
So how many are in your skating group?
10 or more, and then we got a lot of friends up in the high school that skate and mm-hmm. have the same problem.
Okay. Is there much interest in the BMX track?
Not really. I mean, that's a lot more accessible because that's mainly dirt jumps and stuff, and those are really easy to build. And it's more of your backyard kind of a thing.
Okay. Well, there's my cell phone number. Why don't you give me your phone number and name on there, and we'll set up the time.
Now, I know over in our neighborhood, that email I sent you, Steve, that's one of the big issues, is that they're always trying to fill up some dirt, and there's no room over there for them to do.
You know, and again, it's real easy to chase our youth, say, well, you can't be here.
Yeah.
You know, but where can they be?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, because I don't think the right spots in your neighborhood.
No,
it needs to be somewhere accessible throughout the community.
Yeah, park.
Perfect place.
Yeah.
Sounds like it'd be a good article for the Newberry Eagle too.
It would. You know, and indoors, then the kids could use it year round if they could get the movable ramps in the hub.
Why don't we introduce him to Terry Myers?
Mm-hmm. I think she'd love that story.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go.
You're going to be famous now.
It may not be for all the right reasons.
You're 15 minutes of fame.
I would, Braxton, thank you very much for coming tonight. And it's our youth in this community is close to our hearts, each one of us, here at this table and in the audience, too. So it's great that you come forward. We're also pleased to say that we're going to have Conrad Parker here sitting with us each session. And of course, that's the place you can tell your friends to channel their input to the council. If they're not able to come, and it's a lot of times parental availability and stuff like that, travel, so you can do it through him. And we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, have your mom bring a carload of kids and come in and talk with us some night.
We'll be up until midnight.
And we're about
to sleep the other way.
He's got the hammer. Have to drive all the way to Bend to skate. It's the only place because they actually have a skate park that's inside.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then we have to pay like $10 on top of that just to get in.
Yeah. Okay.
I am now going to turn to our second comment. Thank you again, Braxton.
Thank you, Braxton. Yeah. Do you need a phone or anything?
Mm-hmm. Name and address.
Gloria Fleming, Deer Forest Drive in Lapine. And I really, there's not that many of you left. Most of you already know what I'm going to say, but I think since I've been here from the beginning, I would be really remiss. This is about budget and priorities. And I know from the very beginning, there was always a big concern about the tax assessment. And we did recognize that there's a lot of people in the community that are on limited incomes, low incomes. And I just would want anybody that's involved with the budget and the priorities that they consider that and make sure that the people that are going to be impacted with the low incomes, that they would benefit, and it would, you know, they're going to have to maybe face some hardships, so it needs to be worthwhile for those people. That's what I have to say.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll go to staff comments.
I don't have any staff comments.
All right. Council comments? Ooh, this is going fast.
I did get an estimate on encasing the famous shoes.
Oh, yes.
So, is that something? I asked him to get the shoes. I don't want him clicking the heels or anything.
I told him for a price I'd find them.
So, is that something that...
He has the authority to $5,000.
Oh, it's not, okay. That's all I need.
And yeah. So as long as it's not more than like 35 or 40 cents, then
no, it's, you're in good shape. The estimate is about
$250. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? Mayor's comments? Just this one. Oops. I got a very nice card from the Chamber of Commerce signed by all of the board and the group over there. And it just says how proud they are of us for their sponsorship and thanking us very much for the annual banquet. And they also made very nice comments about our table. And I would like to say thank them here at this meeting for thinking of us in this way. But I'd also like to say to everybody that Lori put a lot of time and effort and work into making that table happen. And her and I both feel that it should have won.
We're gonna win next year.
Because we stuck to the color scheme, the theme, and the theme itself. I mean, all the colors of the was there. And so, having said that, I'm awful proud of her for all the hard work she put into making that happen. It takes a lot of time. So, thank you very much, Laura.
It was fun.
And it was fun. So.
Sure.
The nun habits were awful hard to beat, though.
The what?
The nun habits.
Never mind. The nun habits.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. A couple others were hard to beat. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Okay. 2 minutes till 8.
Wow, record time.
Seven, eight.
Boom. Okay.